Forte FM.
It is 13 minutes past 6 here on Port FM with me, your host Papla, and with me in the studio is my co-host Justin, who did the news flawlessly. I always admire. I will never be able to do it. How are you, Justin?
I'm well, and you?
Okay, good. How was your weekend?
Awesome. Fantastic. Awesome. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We had a sunny Saturday and a rainy Sunday.
Wasn't that strange?
Yes. But yeah, it was a great weekend.
I just love the rain. Oh my word, that rain was so mellow yesterday. Joining us tonight is our resident legal expert, Mr. Ali. Mr. Ali, how are you?
Good evening, and thank you for the invite again.
No, it is our pleasure. And, you know, I just want to thank you because, you know, when you invite someone to come and talk about something legal aspect, you have to go and read. It's not just he comes in and sit here and answer questions. He must read up. So, Mr. Ali, I appreciate your coming here and trying to help and make a difference. I know that is the bottom line of your being here, trying to make a difference in terms of educating and informing people about important aspects that can ruin your life at times or influence it or better it. It just depends where do you stand.
Yeah.
That was a beautiful song done by Girl. I don't do the gospel shows on this radio station, but I just decided to play that song because it says about second chances. Our show tonight is exactly that. It is a show about second chances. Why do I say that? Because our first topic that we're going to have is to do with the prescription of debt. Dit is die verjaring van skuld. So as jy ou skuld het wat soos 'n swart hier op jou kop hang, vanaand is jou kans om te luister hoe jy ontslaa daarvan kan raak indien jy kan. Ja. Let wel, nie alles ou skuld kan net so afgeskryf word nie. Nie alles skuld kwalifiseer vir die verjaring van skuld or the prescription of debt, like they say in English. So if you listen carefully, we might be able to help you tremendously. Please send your comments and questions to our official WhatsApp line. That's 074-563-5748. Going to repeat it again. 074-563-5748. Any comments that you want to send? If you're not certain how things work, please ask. We'll try to answer to the best of our ability, and if we can't, we will tell you so, and we will go back to the drawing board and we will let you know. Our next topic has to do second chances that has to do with the expungement of a criminal record. Now, don't get me wrong when I say the second chances things, you know, the prescription of debt, you must pay your debt.
Yes.
Everyone must pay the debt.
Definitely.
If we have an economy where nobody pays the debt, it will ruin the economy. And you must not do crime.
True.
Don't do crime and think you're going to, your record is going to be expunged. So we are not here to encourage lawlessness in the sense of don't pay your debt because there's prescription.
Yes.
You will hear that there are certain conditions also for that. And it might not be nice after you've listened to the conditions.
Yeah.
Even with the expungement of a criminal record, it is not a nice thing to have. That is worse than having bad debt. But both can be crippling towards your career, towards employment, a lot of things. But do the right thing. Pay your debt. If you can't pay your debt, make arrangements.
Yes.
And don't do crime. But if you're now in that boat, because the law make provision for such things.
Yeah.
It's not what you say or what I say. It is what the law say. There is provisions in the law that you can use to your advantage.
Mm-hmm.
But bottom line is pay your debt and pay your...
And don't do crime. Yes.
And like I always say, our show is here to educate and inform the listeners. And if there's certain topics that you want us to highlight or discuss, you are more than welcome to send it to our WhatsApp line. Contact the station manager via our social media platforms and tell them. In the first instance, we did the bail, all the issues around bail with our resident legal expert Yabi. And then we had Advocate Voller, who did everything regarding the registration of companies. He was from CIPC. He will come back Monday or after next Monday to do intellectual property. That will be very interesting.
Yeah.
How to trademarks, patents, and all the things. He will be back here. And then we had Mr. Williams, Bobby Williams, to talk about property. And also we had the Cultured Kings, the young guys that inspired me so much, De Niro and his team, who talked about encouraging, you know, the end of gender-based violence through engagement, critical engagement, and reading, book clubs, and so forth.
Yes.
So I think we are getting there in terms of our show, and I hope that you listen more often, and so that the show and the station can grow.
Yes.
Just one question last week that was sent to us after the show regarding the property. The question was, who can buy a property together? Now there's a simple answer is, any two people can buy a property. You can buy with your brother, with your sister, with your aunt, with your colleague at work. You don't have to be married, you and your girlfriend, your fiance, your wife. Provided, obviously, that you qualify. Mm. You cannot buy a property together with your boyfriend and he's not working, for instance.
Yeah.
Or he's blacklisted. Then the bank won't approve that you two buy it together. Maybe you alone or with somebody else. So I hope that answered the question. It is 19 minutes past 6 here, and we're going straight to our first topic tonight of the prescription of debt. Mr. Ali, do you want to give us a background, what this entails?
You touched on something. I think I can't just let it slide without giving you some part of my mind as well. When you don't pay your debt, you're always exposed to applications for liquidation and sequestration. Now, that affects your status. That means you can't partake in the economy of the country if you are affected by liquidation or sequestration. So that is a real threat, prohibiting people from participating in the economic activity of our
country
as well.
Yeah.
You raised a very important point about prescription. Now, the first question is, what is prescription? Prescription is when a debt is extinguished after a lapse of time. That means you don't have the liability anymore to pay that debt after a certain number of years has elapsed. In the general rule, with regards to delictual actions and contractual actions, is that the debt expires after a period of 3 years.
Mm.
Now, contractual obligations, we contract so often we don't even realize the action that we are participating in. You buying a loaf of bread is a contract. It's a contract between you and the supplier.
Mm.
You give the supplier money, he gives you a product. So there are so many facets of our lives that are affected by contractual relationships that we don't even take notice thereof.
Mm.
The second part is delictual. For example, if you are driving along, you're at the stop street and someone rear-ends you. That is also a cause of action, and it's called a delictual action, where you are entitled to recover the loss that you have suffered as a result of the actions of someone else.
Mm.
So those are the broad types of causes of action that arise and which leads to a debt which becomes payable, due and payable to somebody else. So, like I said, the general rule is after 3 years, the debt becomes prescribed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And you can raise it as a legal defense. If somebody sues you after the passage of 3 years, you can raise it as a legal defense to say that the debt is prescribed and you are not liable for payment of the debt anymore.
All right. Okay, so
Introduction.
Thank you. So, we have the period of 3 years, right? Of prescription. Now, can I interrupt the prescription? And how do we go about it?
Yeah, prescription is interrupted by a number of acts.
Okay.
Number one is if, for example, if you owe, say, I don't want to mention names, but if you owe a credit provider who supplies you with clothing,
yeah,
a clothing store,
mm-hmm.
And you have not paid in a year, for example, when you become unemployed, but you do become employed again and then you make a payment to that service provider.
Yes.
That then interrupts the the prescription period, because that is an acknowledgement of debt, and then the period starts fresh from there.
Oh,
the period right. starts again from there.
Okay.
And then when there are also circumstances which postpones the running of prescription. For example, if you are the creditor and you exit the borders of South Africa, then the period is extended for 1 year.
Okay.
Until when you come back, and then prescription is moved back for 1 year.
All right.
Prescription also doesn't run against people who are mentally handicapped, who are not aware of the debt, because yeah. sometimes it happens that you are involved in a serious accident and then you are incapacitated for maybe a year due to being in a coma. Obviously, because you're not aware of the cause of the action, therefore prescription can't run in those circumstances as well.
All right. And it gave me another thought. What about people because sometimes we kind of fight with creditors, or we kind of fight to clear out names because of corruption. Say our ID gets stolen by someone and they open an account, and now they come back to me, they trace a number back to me, and they're like, no, you need to start making payments, and I'm unaware of this amount that's been adding up somewhere. Can I also interrupt the prescription period by an affidavit or a court order of some sort?
Your defense in those circumstances would be that it's an act of fraud that was committed.
All right.
So you are not liable for any debt.
Oh,
okay.
The
person who, through fraudulent means, obtained your identity yeah. and your particulars, the creditor needs to address that person. Obviously,
okay.
You'd need to prove that you are not the person who committed the fraud. So
yeah.
there is some responsibility on you to show that it's not me. I, for example, reported my ID stolen.
Yes.
Your affidavit, and I've made a duplicate or requested another copy from Home Affairs.
Yes.
So all those issues would go towards proving that you are not the person who participated in that
all
transaction.
Right.
So prescription doesn't run against you
All
because
right.
you're not the cause of the action. The
All
cause
right.
of the action there is what we call a novus actus interveniens. It's something that you could not foresee happening, and therefore you are not. There cannot be any liability because there was no. Remember, we spoke about a contract.
Yes,
there was no
contract
between you and
the
store
okay.
that you are purchasing, and that you are liable for the amount of clothing that you have purchased.
All right. Okay.
It is 26 past 6 here on Port FM. Let's pay the bills.
Life happens to us when we're busy making other plans. No matter how easy it is to put off final arrangements, the cost of waiting can be too high. Here's the first step you can take, and it won't cost you anything. The good people at Matheson Funeral Services make it their mission to take the stress and uncertainty out of grief. Matheson Funeral Services offers policies, exportation to other countries, ceremonial services, affordable cremations, burial services, and tombstones, giving your loved one the comfort and attention they deserve. Give Matheson's a call today at 078-450-8343 or visit us at 324 St. Joseph Avenue. Matheson's Funeral Services. We care.
Davido Beauty Parlor. We know that every woman loves to look and feel beautiful. So we at Davido Beauty Parlor do just that. We care for you from head to toe with services ranging from hairdressing, eyebrow shaping and tinting, as well as manis and pedis. Make sure to contact Davido on 067-132-7223 or 061-160-2924. Or you can visit us at Shop 14, Waverly Gardens, 779 Cadonia Avenue. Visit our website at www.davidobeautyparlor.co.za. See you there.
6:30 on Port FM, and tonight is opportunity to look at your prescription of debt and also the expungement of criminal record. Mr. Ali, you were mentioning contracts.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Mr. Apple, I was saying that we are engaged in so many contracts that we take them for granted. We don't even think about it twice. When you look at contracts, you look at your retail accounts, You look at credit cards, credit card accounts, telecom account, personal loans, payday loans, gym memberships, cell phone accounts, monies owed on vehicle finance. So those are the kind of things that we basically transact on a daily basis, and we don't really take it to heart. So in those instances, those debts, they take a period of, it takes a period of 3 years to prescribe. But there are other debts which are not, which do not prescribe within the 3 periods. For example, if you look at secured debts, that's a mortgage bond.
Mm-hmm.
That only prescribes after 30 years.
Yeah, okay.
Or it's a mortgage bond, or if there's a judgment by a court, that takes 30 years for prescription to step in. 6 years, debts relating to negotiable instruments. For example, if you issued a check to someone,
yeah,
then that person, and you, that you don't honor the check, then that person can still hold you liable for payment or thereof for a period of 6 years. Like I said, debt and contractual obligations, 3 years. 30 years, if a person occupies a piece of land, you must occupy that land for a period of uninterrupted period of 30 years. So I think Clayton still has a couple of years to go before he can claim the land there next to the graveyard as his. So those are the periods which are beyond the 3 year period. You must also remember that your debts towards SARS also prescribes after a period of 30 years. So if you owe the revenue service,
yes,
then you need to make sure that you settle your tax liability as well.
Hmm.
Okay.
So when this debt collectors, let's say I remember now, I had an account with Edgar's in 2010 when it was the World Cup.
Yes.
I opened the account, I bought Bafana gear for me, yes, my wife, my kids, and my Uma, and I've never paid it. 2010 is a long time.
Yes.
Now I get a call from someone to say, that Edgar's account of 15,000 that you owe, can you not pay something on that account?
Well, the advice would be to highlight to the person calling you that the debt is prescribed and the debt cannot be transferred to a collector to collect on behalf of that store that you named.
Mm.
So the short answer is be polite and say to the person that the debt is prescribed and you're not liable to pay the debt anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Mm. That's interesting.
It is, definitely. What we get is we get a lot of unscrupulous traders,
yes,
who sell the debt well past the prescription period,
mm,
well knowing that they can't collect. And then they sell the debt to third parties. And the third parties are then the persons or the people calling you every now and then to remind you of the debt. So just transfer after the period of 3 years is prescribed, it's illegal now to... Not illegal, but it's unenforceable, those kind of accounts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You cannot transfer to a third party for collection purposes.
All right. So then what happens to your profile, your credit profile?
It should not affect your credit profile, because what happens is that the creditor has a period of 3 years to execute whatever is due. So they can either issue a summons.
Mm-hmm.
Or they can take other collection processes. There are, in the Magistrates Court Act, there are certain steps that you can do, acknowledgement of debt, and then you follow that process, and then you get a judgment. Or you can issue summons, and then you get a judgment. So they need to make sure that they collect whatever is due to them within the three-year period.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Here's a question from a listener. Ask, can you go to jail for debt in South Africa?
In South Africa, we don't have that anymore. It used to be like that in the past, but that's a system that we inherited from the English. But in South African law, you cannot be jailed for debt anymore.
Mm.
The debt can be executed. Your property can be used to execute the debt. So all that's right, as far as it goes. And like I said earlier on, you can either be sequestrated if you're a private person, or liquidated if you have a company or close corporation.
Mm. So, in short, what you're saying is that prescribed debt is old debt that has not been acknowledged over a period of 3 years, ne?
Yes.
And then, so you don't acknowledge the debt in the past 3 years. You have not made a payment or promised to make a payment in outstanding debt amount. And you have not been summoned to make that payment.
Indeed.
Okay. So
in those instances, then the debt becomes prescribed.
That become prescribed, which means you don't have to pay, provided it is not one of those things that you mentioned, like a home loan, municipal accounts, SARS money that you owe, or your TV license. Interesting TV license, huh?
It is. Well, it's a government institution that collects, so SABC collects on behalf of government. So that's why it's one of those that doesn't prescribe in after 3 years.
But you can be blacklisted for
indeed
debt.
Yes, you can be blacklisted. That again affects your economic activity.
Mm. Mm.
But the, like I said, if the debt has been paid up or you've made arrangements for the debt to be paid up, then your blacklisting will be removed.
Mm. That's right. So the amendment to the Credit Act actually says that you cannot sell that old debt like they used to do in the past.
Yes. In the past, what used to happen is the debt book, doesn't matter what the age of the debt book was. If your debt book, the average age of your debtor was 5 years, you'd sell your whole debt book for the value of that debt book.
Mm.
So now what needs to happen is you need to identify firstly which of the debts that you have in your debt book are older than the three-year period, and those must be excluded from your debt book.
Mm.
So the National Credit Act then, in that instance in 2015, brought about the change to assist the people who has had historical debts and whose current activity has been hindered by historical debts. And that's the reasoning for bringing the amendment into effect.
Mm-hmm. I think that was very good, because this thing has been abused. I still believe there are people in today's age that do still buy debt that is 10 years or older, and people just pay up. Now, that's the advantage of if you know, then you cannot be if you don't know, then you're gonna pay.
Yeah.
Yes.
So if you read a lot, or you Google, or you listen to powerful radio stations like ours,
mm-hmm,
then you can be
well informed,
and you can save money. Here's a question from a listener. I think we did do it, but I'm just gonna ask it. Can debt prescribe when the debtor was informed and reminded?
Yes.
Yes, of course.
Remember, what's required of the debtor is the debtor must take an actual step, mm-hmm, by making payment. Just saying I owe you does not really amount to anything. But that acknowledgement then might be, you can argue.
Yes.
But as soon as payment is made, yeah, that's irrefutable acknowledgement of the debt to the creditor.
Mm. But if the creditor is a little bit more proactive, instead of reminding me 2011, 2012 about the debt of Edgar's that I don't pay, rather go the legal route and get the summons or something.
There is. Remember, when you sign your agreement with a credit provider,
yeah,
they normally insert a clause that they can go to the magistrate's court and the amount as per the statement of account will be the amount that's due.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a shortened, basically, a collection process that they take in terms of the badge court rules. A shortened process that they take for debt collection. And most of the collection companies can do that and do that. Instead of issuing a summons, there's a shortened procedure that they can take.
Is it still legal?
It's legal, yes.
Still?
Yes.
I knew about it, but I thought maybe something, I read about it, that people, because you know the unscrupulous money lenders also used to use those forms.
Yes.
Just before you take the money, you sign.
Admission of guilt.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you can still do that.
Yes.
Interesting.
Okay. It is 20 to 7. We're going to have another song, and then we're going to wrap up with this topic, and then we're going over to the next topic. Ons het nog 'n vraag hier oor the prescription of debt. The listener is asking, is acknowledgement of debt enforceable even when a debtor can't afford it, and will be placed in distress when payments are enforced by court. For example, cash loan granted to government grant beneficiaries. Mr. Ali?
Yes, thanks for the question from the listener. You always have to remember that we are in a democracy, so nobody can force you into a position that you don't want to take. So that kind of agreement, you can always negotiate and let the creditor know that I cannot afford the amount of money that you seek. And if the creditor is persistent, then you always have the remedy of debt review.
Mm. Yeah.
So the position in that instance I would recommend for the listener is to consider debt review.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be the saving grace of the debtor, because then all the debts can be put into one pot, if one can call it that. And then the debtor can pay a lesser amount instead of killing themselves on paying that one creditor.
But isn't that, there's a term for it where, you know, like in the case, like the listener gave an example that if you are a grant recipient and you get a cash loan from a company, wouldn't that then fall under the company who agreed to giving you that cash loan? Wouldn't it be would it be like for them just to loosely give you, is it even acceptable? Yeah, that's what acceptable to give someone in that position a loan, a cash loan.
The National Credit Act compels each and every credit provider to consider a person's financial position. That's why you have to have your income and expenditure.
Yeah.
And based on your income and expenditure, then the credit provider will have to decide whether you are credible to in a position to receive X amount of money, whichever amount of money you receive. If they do not, then they are... I forgot the term, the technical term, but basically they are reckless.
Yes, reckless.
Reckless that in lending you money.
Yes.
So then they are in a position, the remedy is, like I said, the debt review process is available to the debtor. So the creditor then would be in a position where, in a case of reckless lending, their claim is basically reduced, or what we call in the ranking, reduced in the ranking of the creditors.
All right. Okay. Because I'm thinking about Mashonisa and those people that just take people's... Okay, but they probably aren't legal.
No.
A legal lender. Yeah.
The first requirement for the National Credit Act to apply is that you need to be registered
as a
credit provider.
Yes.
And there are strict requirements that they have. And the reason, therefore, is that because of the sanctions that step in if you don't comply with the regulations.
Yeah. All right.
A listener is asking, the cash loans granted to government grant beneficiaries, isn't this irresponsible lending?
I think that's what we addressed. Yes.
Reckless lending.
Reckless lending.
Yeah.
All the factors are not taken into consideration. When you apply for credit, the first thing the credit provider needs to ask you is, what is your income?
Yeah.
What is your gross and what is your net income? And then the second question is, do a list of all your expenditure. And if your expenditure does not match up to your income, then if they still provide you with the money that you have asked for, and that becomes reckless lending.
Mm.
So you need to be conscious when you apply for credit as well.
Yeah.
You need to be conscious of what amount of money you can afford without sacrificing your day-to-day expenses in the household.
Okay.
So it's not just the credit provider has a responsibility. But you also have a responsibility. As much as you have a right to apply for credit, you also have the obligation to make sure that you are in a position to service your debt.
Mm. But I agree with the listener. It is irresponsible lending, and the grant beneficiaries are already in distress. I agree with them. But maybe on a later stage, we'll have a show about irresponsible lending, cash loans, what are your rights and features. But for tonight's show, and you can ask any question, you know, we don't shy away from questions, but tonight's show specifically is prescription of old debt, you know, of debt. And people who get the grant and go to the cash loans, the chances that that debt will prescribed is basically...
It's the nature of cash loans are that 99.9% of the chances are that your debt will not prescribe, because
yes,
definitely they will take steps to recover the debt that is owed to them. Yes, the creditors will recover the money. And it begs a moral question as well of us. Who can you really ask for something that you cannot afford? Because you're putting yourself in a position where you know you cannot comply with your obligations. So it begs a moral question. We need to be responsible, like I said. We need to be responsible with our money. I know we're going through a difficult time. I know a lot of people have lost their jobs. I know a lot of people are very desperate when it comes to money. But without judging anybody, I think we need to be responsible, and you need to look at your bottom line, what you have and what you can afford and what you need.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't help that you earn 5,000 rand a month, but your expenses are 20,000. Not everybody's Julius Malema who can survive on that kind of ratio of the income and expenditure.
Yeah.
So I think the responsibility is on us as consumers to make sure that we are in a position to service our debt.
And I know there will be a listener, one or two, that will say, yeah, but sometimes those people are really, they don't have a choice but to go there. But at the end of the day, it is about being responsible. If you can't, then rather sacrifice that money. Because going to a cash loan business is like, in Sutubaring, wanamela kamela. You can't get out, can't get off. Because if you get 1,000 rand income, and that guy charge up to 60% that I know of. But if he charge you 40%, which means you have to give him 1,004, how are you going to manage that?
Yeah.
So responsible is also your responsibility to be responsible. It is 7:03, and yes, incognito. And if you borrow money from your friend, you must know he's still a friend of mine, eh? But pay him, please. It is 7:06 here on Port FM. We are now on the second part of our show, the last hour, where we deal with another important issue of the expungement of a criminal record. So in our studio, we have our resident legal mind, Mr. Ali. Mr. Ali, will you give us a background on what is the expungement of a criminal record?
Thanks, Mr. Apple. The expungement of a criminal record is a process by which a criminal record is of a convicted offender is expunged from the criminal record database of the Criminal Record Center of the Police Service. Now, it's done in terms of Section 271, capital B, of the Criminal Procedure Act. So this allows a person to carry on with their life without a criminal record being an obstruction to employment opportunities. You know what? A lot of the times, a lot of young people are faced with a scenario where, for example, they might be smoking dacha, and the police arrest them. They have 5 milligrams or less in their possession, and then they are taken to the police station, and they are convinced by the police officer to plead guilty to the offense. They pay an admission of guilt fine, and they go on their merry way, and 2 years down the line, he goes to varsity, graduates, and then he applies for a job. And then a check is done. And then pops up the criminal record. And a lot of people would say, but I've never done anything, you know, wrong. And you forgot because it was so insignificant at the time that it happened. You forgot about the guilty or the fine that you paid. And you were told that's the end of the matter. So now you can't be employed, and the rest of your life is negatively affected. So in those scenarios, the lawgiver then decided to, you know, make amendments to the Section 271 of the Criminal Procedure Act in terms whereof a person would then be allowed to apply for the expungement of their record. And that means that that record no longer counts against you as it would under normal circumstances. So basically, that is the whole thinking behind the expungement of criminal records.
Mm, mm. Specifically, Herbie, regarding the very same example that you're using, you know, it happens to a lot of people, like you're saying, because now your son is locked up for probably 1 gram or 2 grams of dacha.
Yes.
The only thing you want to do is get him out of there.
Yes.
So you go to the police station, you just sign documents and stuff, not knowing that this is like in a court where you plead guilty, because you pay a fine and you think, okay, it's like a traffic fine that I'm paying.
Yes.
It's not going to count against my name. But I know we're talking expungement specifically in the broad sense, like we know it. But what steps can be taken against specifically those kind of records? Because let's say 10 years have not lapsed. Let's say it's now 5 years, and the young man have finished his studies. Now he needs to be employed. How can you go around having that type of thing expunged from your name?
Basically, it's you're tied down. It's like an albatross around your neck. You're tied down for the remainder of the period until the 10-year period lapses. You are basically prohibited from getting a job.
Hmm.
And if you explain it to most employers like that, you explain to the employer, look, there's no violence involved. There's no dishonesty involved. It was a joyride. It was my first and only experience that I had.
Yeah.
And, you know, being young, you don't have the wisdom of time. You don't have the experience, the exposure to make proper decisions.
Yeah. Mm.
And your parents as well. They are probably also traumatized by the fact that the child is arrested.
Yeah.
And they have to now go to the police station, and they are offered this lifeline to say, pay the fine, pay the admission of guilt fine, and it's the end of the matter.
Mm.
I think there needs to be a lot of education for our police force as well, because they don't understand
exactly
what they advise you to do. And 99% of the time, there's no lawyer involved. So the legal ramifications of their decision, you know, doesn't get explained.
Mm.
Because if that is explained to 99% of the people who pay those admission of guilt fines, you get your guys who really have, you know, they are, so some say Afrikaans is droogmakers.
Mm.
But 99% of the time, it's your innocent guy who just was on a joyride or influenced peer pressure.
Mm.
Yeah.
So those kind of decisions has an implication for the rest of your life. And that is the main thinking behind the expungements of records in terms of Section 271 of the Criminal Procedure Act.
Mm. All right. And what kind of do they differ, these cases that one can be expunged from? Or say you were a sex offender, would you be able to be expunged before 18? Would you be able to apply for it or not so?
The general thinking is that to apply for an expungement, it's your less serious offenses.
All right.
Right. So if, for example, okay, let me just maybe run through the criteria to apply for an expungement. There must be a 10-year period from the committal of the offense to the application for expungement. You cannot apply for expungement if a sentence has been imposed direct imprisonment without the option of a fine.
Okay.
You cannot qualify if you have been a fine of more than 20,000 rand has been imposed. You cannot apply for expungement if you are a convicted sex criminal offender and your name has not been removed from the register of sex offenders.
All right.
So those are the preliminary steps that you need to take before you can apply for expungement. So if you have been convicted for direct imprisonment, you can't apply.
You won't qualify.
You can apply, but you won't qualify. A fine imposed of more than 20,000 rand, you won't qualify.
Yeah.
If you are a sex offender and your name has not been removed from the register of criminal sex offenders, then you will not qualify.
All right.
So historically, also, a lot of people have been convicted because of the apartheid laws.
Mm.
Say, for example, we were not, or our parents and grandparents are not allowed to mix interracially.
Yes.
So, marry interracially. So, if you were convicted of a racial offense based on race, then you would also qualify. I think there's also a move that the president has announced that, or is it the Minister of Health, in conjunction with the Minister of Constitutional Development and Justice, where a lot of the people who have been found guilty of contravening the COVID regulations, also those to decriminalize those offenses.
All right.
But I think there will be a special dispensation granted, an amnesty granted to allow for those, because if somebody, if somebody has not complied with the COVID regulations, why would they then be prohibited or be convicted?
Yes.
And then prohibited from getting a job afterwards.
Yes. Mm.
So those are the main categories of the qualifications and the disqualifications for application for expungement of a criminal offense, criminal record,
Okay. So now you've explained to us what expungement actually means. So how do you go about? Where is it free? How much do you pay? Can you do it on your own?
The Department of Justice has a website, and it's a service that's free of charge that they render. When you go onto the website, there are people identified to whom you apply specifically.
Mm-hmm.
And your application is made to them. They then process the application. They send a certificate from Criminal Record Center, and then that goes with your application to the DG of Justice.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And the DG of Justice then processes your application. The whole process takes a period of 4 months.
Mm.
And then after, if you are successful, then your expungement goes to the Criminal Record Center in Pretoria.
Mm.
And then the Criminal Record Center will remove it, and then they'll send a notification to you which confirms, if you apply, that you have had this conviction, but it has been expunged from the record.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I have a question here from a listener.
Yes.
We have a very active listener tonight on the show. What is the difference between expungements and presidential pardons?
Expungement is what used to be a presidential pardon.
Mm.
Oh. Presidential pardon, the president used to do the pardons.
Yes.
And then there was... I was involved a couple of years ago, the firm that I was with, where we did a lot of those political applications where the president granted the pardon for the political prisoners.
Mm.
So at that point in time, there was a discussion to move, because the president is so busy. He doesn't really have time to consider all these applications, because you can just imagine how many thousands of applications they receive per annum.
Yes.
Mm.
So the president doesn't have that the time to really apply his mind to those applications, and that was then delegated to the Director General of Justice. So each application goes to the Director General of Justice, and he is the person, or she is the person, then who would consider the applications, and then the recommendation and approval is granted to the applicant.
Can you do the process on yourself? I see there's a lot of agencies that advertise that they'll do it for you, but is it a simple, straightforward application?
It is. And the Act specifically states that, or the section specifically states that, all applicants are treated equally, because you know what happens with the licensing departments? You get your driving schools and they apply, they get preferential treatment. So if you apply as an individual, you get basically turned down the road or down the list.
Oh.
So with these applications, it's a first come, first serve basis. Doesn't matter who applies.
Yes.
If you're an individual or if you get somebody professional to assist you.
Okay.
The cost of applying is zero.
Wow.
So you don't have to spend any money.
Yes.
You can do it. You go to the website. The forms are quite easy to access, and it's easy to read and understand. So any person can fill out the form and send the application to the Department of Justice after they've gone to Criminal Record Center to get a copy of the record that they have there.
Yes.
And that's your application and your motivation why the criminal record or the offense should be expunged from your record. Mm.
I think there's a small fee that you pay for your fingerprints. I think you something like that.
I'm not sure about could that, but I can take or can understand if there's a small admin fee.
Yes. I think it's less than 100.
It's less than 100.
Yeah, yeah.
It's less than applying for your passport.
Yeah, so it's quite easy. You can do it on your own. Many moons ago, I posted on my Facebook profile how to expunge your criminal record. I will post it again. But if you need to ask something, feel free. Even if the show is over, you know our number, 074-563-5748.
Even if I'm not on, if you pose a question,
yes,
to Papa,
yes, that's what I'm saying.
You'll convey it to me, and then I'll make sure that we address the issue that has been raised, and you will be informed of whatever question you have raised.
6:27 here on Port FM. We continue our topic about the expungement of a criminal record. This is not a question, this is a comment from a listener. He says, the Monday slot with Papla and the resident legal eagle, Mr. Herbie Ali, is amazingly eloquent and informative for the layman. I sincerely appreciate the free legal advice. It does not hurt that music is also on point. Much appreciated, Port FM, and thank you. Thank you, Nolene. We are also human. We also feel good when people tell us that we're doing good. Obviously, you are also entitled to tell us where we can improve. Contact the station, write to the station manager on the various platforms, especially my show. I take critics in the intent it was meted out, so I won't get angry. You are free, and let's grow the show together. I have a question here that asks, wasn't King Dalin Jebo pardoned last year?
Now, I think the process is still ongoing. He's on parole. He was released on parole, but the pardon application is not. I'm not aware of the fact that the pardon application has been approved by the president. Mm. There's a difference between expungement and a pardon.
Yeah.
So he applied for a pardon, presidential pardon.
Mm.
So expungement is something different.
Mm.
Expungement means the conviction no longer is on your name. But pardon means that you are pardoned on a different basis than the expungement. Expungement, if you look at the nature of the offences, the alleged offences on which the king has been convicted, they would not qualify for expungement because those are serious charges. It's murder. It's a lot of serious charges in more than one. So that makes it a Schedule 1 offence. And Schedule 1 offences do not fall within the ambit of the expungement regime.
All right. So earlier you touched, Mr. Ali, on a question whether, you know, someone who wants to apply for expungement needs to go through an agency or an institution to assist them in the process, or they can do it individually. The answer was obviously that they can do it individually. But for the people who are struggling with the application, there is help for you. I know sometimes legal, you know, terms can throw us off a little. So if you do need assistance with your expungement documentation, help is out for you. You can actually email expungements@justice.gov.za. That's expungements at justice.gov.za. I can also spell for you expungements. It's expungements at justice.gov.za. There's also a few contact numbers here, but I'll just read two. You can contact G Mashaba at 012-315-4654. That's G Mashaba at 012-315-4654, or T Chipane at 012-315-4681. And if you do you know, want to ask more questions, or if you just need the contact details, do send us a WhatsApp on 074-563-5748, and we will provide these contact details for you, just for someone to assist you, or if you need to ask questions. I know sometimes our police stations are a little bit inadequate and they can't really answer questions, but there's always someone available to assist you. So seek for help. Help is out there to help to help you in the process.
I would just like to emphasize that I think Mr. Ali and myself will also help, but make sure you at least did your part. Go through the forms. It is really, really simple. But if you really need help and you're stuck, don't be stuck alone. We are here to help you. There are two questions. I think we did discuss it, but because we have time, I think maybe Mr. Ali can just repeat. The listener is asking, what crimes are eligible for expungement, and how long is the waiting period for the application to succeed?
Yeah, I know sometimes we get a little bit busy and we forget about the important things in life, like listening to the show. So people join later, and like you said, it's the main intention is to inform. And I don't think any of us would mind, although we touched on it earlier. I think maybe just the specific requirements for you to be eligible. I'm not saying it will be granted. I'm saying you can apply and you'll be eligible, all right?
Yes.
So to be eligible to qualify for expungement, you must apply after a passage of 10 years from the date of conviction to the date of the application. You should not be convicted and sentenced to a period of imprisonment without the option of a fine during the period of those 10 years. If the sentence was corporal punishment, you can apply. If the sentence was postponed and the perpetrator was cautioned and discharged, then that person would also qualify. If the sentence was a fine not exceeding 20,000 rand, then the applicant would qualify. If the sentence of imprisonment with an option, if the sentence, without the option of paying a fine, then the person won't qualify. If the sentence was imprisonment and the whole sentence was suspended in full, then that person would qualify. If a person is sentenced to correctional supervision in terms of section 276(1)(h) of the Criminal Procedure Act, that person would qualify. If a person was convicted and sentenced to imprisonment in terms of section 276(1)(i) of the Criminal Procedure Act, that person would qualify. If the person is sentenced to periodical imprisonment in terms of section 271 C of the Act, that person would qualify. Now, a couple of years ago, there's a magistrate who, for maintenance matters, would regularly sentence the defaulters to periodical imprisonment. That would mean the person goes in to prison and checks in at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, is in prison for the weekend, and gets released on the Monday morning, 5 o'clock, to enable that person to go to work.
Okay.
So if you have that kind of sentence imposed, that's what we call periodical imprisonment, then you would also qualify for expungement.
Okay.
So, like I said earlier on, the proof would be the National Register, or if a person has been convicted of a sexual offense, the person would only qualify if the National Register of Sex Offenders or the National Child Protection Register, if the person's name is removed from those two registers.
Okay.
So those are the criteria basically which applies for people to qualify for expungement.
Mm. All right. And you say the period can take about?
A 4 months maximum period.
4 months?
Yes.
Oh, that's not long.
Not at all.
Well, if you consider the plus side, the rest of your life, you have the sword hanging over your head, and you have a four-month period within which to, you know, deal with the matter. So I think the four-month period, and that is stated as a worst-case scenario. So it might happen that it happens sooner.
Yes.
It also depends on the kind of information that is submitted with your application.
Okay.
So if you don't have your ID document and you don't have the criminal record center certificate.
Yes.
And you don't have all the, your explanation is one that's not really, you know, a sound explanation, because that also you need to explain how the conviction came about. Mm. And you need to be as detailed as possible. You can't just speak in generalities. You need to say, and I think there's also an element of remorse coming into that that application, to show that you will not commit the same offense again. I think Ms. Kepler raised a point earlier on that anybody can just apply for expungements. They commit an offense and then they apply for expungements. And that's not the intention. The intention is to good citizens of our country, to allow them to participate in economy, and allow them to have that sword removed over their heads.
Yeah.
So your repeat offenders will definitely not qualify.
Okay.
So that's why one of the requirements is that if you have been convicted of an offense in that period, and you are direct imprisonment is imposed, then you will not qualify.
Mm-hmm.
So if you, for example, you've been convicted of shoplifting the first time around, you get a suspended sentence. A year down the line, you get convicted again for shoplifting.
Yeah.
You're not going to get 6 months. You're going to get direct imprisonment. So that's how, like I said earlier, we need to be responsible for our choices, and we need to be responsible. You need, you know, take the moral decisions and say, this is not how you should conduct yourself. If you conduct yourself in that way, then surely the... Hoe sê hulle die hekke van wat?
Die hekke van wat?
The big gates of the prison are open and waiting for you. Papa wag vir jou.
Nommer 1 potgietersdraak.
Nommer
1 potgieters. En mense, soos ek gesê het, ek ken niemand persoonlik wat 'n agent is wat kan help met 'n expungement van 'n criminal record nie.
Jy
is welkom om te Google. Ek wil nie, mense se hulle doen 'n job, hulle doen 'n service.
Yeah.
So of baie van ons hou daarvan om te betaal vir 'n diens, want jy is te bang of jy is te bang om dit self te doen. Jy is meer as welkom om hulle te kontak as jy in die Google field sit, expungement of criminal records, dan kom die agent sommer daarop. Jy kan hulle kontak, maar soos ons nou vir julle gesê het, is 'n heel wat eenvoudige proses, dis maklik. En jy kan het self doen, maar as jy ongemaklik voel, laat iemand jou help met dit. Ek gaan het post op my Facebook page. Julle kan daar die aansoekvorm kry. Dit net dan print, daardoor gaan print. En just do it, man. Sometimes, you know, because you are in a job and they already know that you have this criminal record, or they haven't followed up, and you think you're okay, and you're not okay. There's a world of other opportunities out there, and then you get stuck by this stupid thing of being caught with DACA when you was 18 or 17 years.
Mm.
So rather do the right thing. Those are things that you need to do, man. So rather, you might want to go to a foreign country where they look at those things.
Yes, they definitely do.
So, you know, just get it off your chest and back. Yeah. And it's a very straightforward, simple application. Like I said, 22:08 now.
Yes.
On Port FM.
Hello.
You live on Port FM. Papla speaking. Hello. How are you?
Hello.
Hi. Can you hear us?
Yes.
We are speaking to
Dane Ali.
Dane Ali. Thank you for calling. We have you live on air, so we.
Prof Ali, how are you?
I'm good, Papla, yourself?
I'm good. When are you coming to the studio, my man?
Hey, yeah, we'll have to talk about it.
Yes. I thought of you, and I think of having you in a conversation regarding inspiration to inspire our youth here in Estrus. How's that for a topic?
Yeah, we'll discuss it. Yeah.
This is a nice surprise. You are our very first live caller on my show. I'm so excited. I was a bit nervous because I didn't know who it was, what he's gonna ask. Because in a radio station environment, your score gets screened. What do you wanna ask so that you know? But anyhow, we are on to the inner word, Meneer Ali.
Yeah. The first question I wanted to ask it was clear by Abi.
Uh-huh.
Just now before the break.
Okay.
The second one is basically just for clarification.
Okay.
You and I know, Abi, what a Schedule 1 offense is. I think many of the listeners don't know what a Schedule 1 offense is. Maybe if you could just give them an idea of those offenses, because you correctly stated that you cannot apply for expungement when you know you have been convicted of a Schedule 1 offense.
Okay. And the second question?
This is my second question, the one that I'm putting to you now.
All right. Okay.
Schedule 1 offenses are your more serious offenses. They are in Schedule 1 of the Criminal Procedure Act. And those are normally, excuse me, it's murder, kidnapping, arson, public violence, robbery, assault with intent to do grievous bodily harm. Those are your more serious type of offenses. And if you are convicted of one of those offenses, then you, in all probability, will not qualify for the expungement of your record.
Does that answer your question?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, thank you. I think most of the listeners, did not know, which offense he referred.
Yeah.
And it has been clarified. Yeah.
No, I think that was a very good and valid question. Thank you, Mr. Ali, Professor Ali.
Thank you, Mr. Apple.
We'll talk. Thanks for the call, eh?
Thank you.
Bye-bye. All right. Bye-bye. Wow. And that was Professor Dane Ali from TUT calling us. I was so excited now. Mr. Ali Jr. from Dane, his bigger brother. thank you very much once again.
Yeah.
We really appreciate you and we appreciate your insight. We can see through the engagement of listeners, they don't just ask questions, they also give some compliments, which is nice. Mense soos ek sê, ons is ook tog mense, man.
Yeah.
Ons lyk ook bietjie gekoza word om te sê, hey, wena, die batu wat jy aan het, die bam, jy verstaan? So, dankie, mense. Thank you, people. We really appreciate. We appreciate every listener. There are some listeners that listen every week. We appreciate you, even if you don't ask questions all the time, but I know you are there.
Yeah.
Sometimes you don't ask questions because we clarify things so easily for you. So you don't need to ask
questions.
But once again, thank you, Mr. Ali.
Thanks, Annie. It's always a pleasure. And like you say, it's the main principle, the main concern for us both is that we try and get the knowledge out there so that people can make better informed decisions.
Mm. That's right. And to help them, man. Aish, so please, man. And legal fees is dear. Legal goed is dear. So you must try to do something if you can do it on your own by all means.
Yeah.
I have spoken to someone at the Department of Justice, not confirmed yet, but if she's okay with her for next week, Monday, we're going to talk about the issues around about maintenance, child support. Pop shelled.
Yeah.
So please, if it's okay with her, I will let you know via my WhatsApp and Facebook and our social platforms of the station.
Yes.
And then you can. I know there's a lot of questions and issues. There's a lot of myths.
Yes.
That if you get a child grant, you not can't get maintenance. That is absolutely not the truth. So listen in next week, Monday, when we have an official from the Department of Justice who's going to clarify all those myths for us so that we know better. You know, I am one. I have a lot of kids, and I always try to the best of my ability. And I think all men should do that. So, yeah, we go in to have that conversation.
Just a reminder to our listeners to do follow Port FM on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram to keep you updated about what's coming on the shows, not just ours, but there are a bunch of shows to listen to. And also what you need to listen out for, there's a bunch of topics surrounding mental illness this week, as well as Breast Cancer Month. So please do follow us on those platforms, and we'll keep you updated.
When duty calls, you have to do what you have to do. I called Mr. Ali back because there's a question or two that the listeners want to ask. The first one says, evening, I'm very interested in the expungement of a criminal record. May I please have Mr. Ali's details or refer to someone who can steer me in the correct direction?
All right. Anonymous, I can, as earlier stated, if you do have inquiries, you can email expungements at justice.gov.za. I'll spell it for you. expungements at justice.gov.za. Or you can give the following two people a call. It's G Mashaba. The telephone number there is 012-315-4654. That's 012-315-4654. Or you can contact T Chipane at 012-315-4681.
I will post it on my Facebook, and if you want to, you can send an email to the 074 number. They will forward me your email, and I will send the form to you.
Yes.
The next question, I think probably the last, says, in 2008, I was arrested for public indecency, and it has been more than 10 years. What are the requirements? Unfortunately, I tune in late. It sounded like I missed a lot. My biggest concern is that it pops up each time I'm vetted, then I have to return to the police station for an affidavit. Anonymous.
Yeah, I think that's a classic example of the discussion we had earlier on, where one act of, let's call it, not being with your full senses, mm-hmm. and then you make a mistake. In those instances, like you have indicated, the offense is not one listed in Schedule 1, so it's not a serious offense. So the person would have to, in the explanation then, provide full details of how the offense came about and basically indicate remorse for having committed the offense. And then, in all probability, the record will be expunged and then life can continue as normal for that person then.
Anonymous, I hope that answers you. Once again, feel free to contact us, even if it's not there. And also remember that all our shows are on podcast, so you can listen again if you want to, or even you didn't have time to listen now.
Yeah.
It is always there for you to listen.
It should be available within this week.
That was our show for tonight.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Thank you, Abby.
Thanks. You so much.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks. Your Kasi, your Stasi.